This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Toastgivers Podcast. My name is Simon. Today I'm joined by Jake. Hello, Jake.
Hello, mate. How's it going?
Very well, mate. Very well. We've had a break. We've had a break of about probably about a month. Been doing various things, but obviously, we didn't see the point in coming back every sort of few days just to update you and that, because it's actually been a fairly slow window. A lot of business was done, like, it felt like early on, and then, you know, we thought we'd come back for sort of the bigger movements or bigger sort of stories. I'm missing the football now. We've known each other for a long time, Jake. You know, this is around the time that I start to get a little bit. Because I don't have I have some hobbies outside football, but not a whole lot, and they tend to get a wee bit boring after a while. But you've enjoyed the break, haven't you?
Do you know what, mate? I have, and it's been a strange one, because normally I'm like you, I hate the football break and it not being on. But like I've said to you in the group chat, you know, I think after the last 6 months of being a Liverpool fan and, you know, having blood pressure through the roof, it's quite nice to just not have to worry about Saturdays or Wednesdays. It's nice to just like have a bit of a break and let my blood pressure come back to a normal sentence before it all starts again in four or five weeks. So yeah,
you needed it for your health sake.
Yeah, I absolutely did, mate. But I am also, you know, it's the itch is starting to come back for football now as well.
Yeah, it's getting that time, and it's like you could kind of see it on the horizon. It's like, oh yeah, it's not long now. The fixture list is out.
Exactly.
I think that's for me. But when the fixture list comes out, I think, right, okay, we're not long, we're in the running now.
Yeah.
Right, let's go over some stories. I think we should, obviously, both Liverpool fans here. I'm the tourist fan, you are the genuine one. So we'll talk about some major movements in Liverpool. Sadio Mane departed, and obviously this isn't news to anybody, this is old news by this point, but we've not had the chance to talk about it on a podcast. Sadio Mane departed, in comes Darwin Nunez. What are your thoughts?
Obviously, it's always sad to see players leave, especially someone of Mane's quality. I mean, we all know how good he's been over the last 6 years. Arguably, Liverpool's best player. You know, a lot of people will point to Salah and say that he is. But I had a conversation with someone the other day, and we both sort of agreed that when Liverpool have almost needed a hero recently in the last few years, Sadio Mane stepped up to the plate. He's almost been the one that we look at for those last-minute winners and
he's
those crucial goals.
So many important games. So he's had such an influence on this football club.
And, you know, he is a fantastic player, but out of the two, if one of them was going to leave, I always had the feeling it would be Mane. You know, sadly, I wouldn't say he's underappreciated, it's not the right sort of term, but, you know, compared to Salah, it's always going to be hard when you're up against someone like Mo Salah, who does get the numbers ultimately, isn't it? And the sort of the glory. But, you know, I think it was always going to happen. It's always going to go at some point.
It's never going to last forever.
Exactly, mate. That's something that I think a few people have commented on. The front three of Firmino, Salah and Mane has been unbelievable.
Most successful front three there's ever been in a Premier League. And it's interesting now exactly. That we talk of front threes, where it used to always be striking partnerships. And when we were growing up, it was always a striking partnership is what you talked about. But now it's so common as a front three as a concept that is the modern game. And yeah, there hasn't ever been a more successful front three than this Liverpool one.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, especially these days, you know, you look at the numbers, I think it's over, you know, nearly 400 goals between the three of them. And that's just ridiculous considering it's been, what, four, five, 6 years when they've all been together. I mean, it's insane. And, you know, and they have won all the trophies they can win together, which is, you know, when people used to talk about, you know, Gerrard and Torres as a great Premier League front two, you know, everyone would always go, yeah, but they never won anything. So it sort of molds your argument straight away. Whereas with these three, you can straight away, you can go, well, they've won a Premier League, they've won the Champions League, they've won all the domestic competitions, the Super Cup, the Club World Cup, you know, they're in that conversation now. It was always going to happen. They were always going to split up. That's part of football. It's part of life. It's what happens. Players move on. No one's bigger than the club, all that jazz. It's sad that he's going, but I'm happy he's going to someone like a Bayern where we're only going to potentially see him in the Champions League in the later stages. You know, if he'd have gone to, say, a Man City or someone like that, obviously I'd have been a lot more devastated. But, you know, all good things must come to an end. But we've replaced him with Darwin Núñez, who looks like a great player from what I've seen. You know, I was at the Benfica game where he did have a fantastic game, up and down, and caused us all sorts of issues, and, you know, scored himself a nice couple of goals. He looks like the real deal, mate, so we'll see what happens with him.
The last time we took the top player out of Portugal, we got a Luis Diaz.
Exactly.
You know, and Darwin Núñez, as far as I was aware, was only really second to or close to Luis Diaz in form at the time when we took Luis Diaz. So we've now took the top player of a league. Okay, there was a lot of people chasing, a lot of clubs, sorry, chasing the signature of Darwin Núñez. I'm very glad that Liverpool have secured a player like that. I'm very much of the, no malice towards Manny. I think he was a fantastic servant to the club. And if he wanted to go, I think that was completely up to him. I am disappointed the comments that came out before the Real Madrid final.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that influenced Liverpool at all in that final. I don't like contract sagas. I'm not a fan of them at all.
No. This is why the Salah one's been particularly disappointing.
I'd rather see him go. I'd rather see him go than go through this year's contract saga. I think it's hard for a full team to focus when it's just all the news. It's just constantly about contracts and what will happen if he goes and who they need to replace. The reason that Liverpool had so much success with the front three of Bobby, Manny and Salah is they were settled. You know, they were settled.
They were on long-term contracts.
And the team had a vision. I would honestly rather see Salah go than have another year of a contract saga, to be perfectly honest.
Do you think he goes?
Yeah. I just don't think
we let him go on a free?
If you're choosing, you'd rather see him go for money and have it reinvested, but I just don't think Liverpool are going to break the wage structure and give Salah what he could get at a different club. Liverpool is not... It's not run by a state. It's not run by, you know, companies that are not really interested in profit. It's more about reputation as the currency they're trying to gain through owning football. Obviously, this is owned by Fenway Sports Group. These are organisations that are set to, you know, acquire sports teams and use them as business models, essentially. So you're not going to have players that are on sort of that. I think, honestly, Salah could go and get £500,000 a week elsewhere. I really think he is. He's probably worth that. I don't think he's going to get anywhere near that Liverpool. I think even conservatively on the end of sort of 350, that shatters Liverpool's wage structure, you know. He's obviously right now, I think, still the highest earner, him and Van Dijk, around about the 200 mark. But I just don't see them going, you know, 150 beyond the top player already.
It is a lot of money. And like you said, you also have to think about is, you know, do other players have in their contracts that they match the highest earner? So it's not just the Salah one you've got to think about. You know, does Van Dijk have a clause in his contract? Yeah, exactly.
You know, they're top players in their positions in the world, and they would be massively in demand from any clubs. You know, I think as soon as there's a player making £150,000 more than them a week, then their contracts are immediately thrown into question. And that's just why, that is my reasons why I don't think that Salah will be a Liverpool player come the end of his contract.
That's you know, it's what I love about Firmino, because you never hear anything like this with Bobby.
Such a professional.
There's no. His agent doesn't come off and talk about he wants more money. You know, if he's not playing, he doesn't sit and whinge. You know, if he's not playing well, all he says is I can try my best and keep trying. But the thing with Firmino is
he's never not playing well.
You're going to get an average of 7 out of him anyway. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's he's a consummate professional. He works his ass off for the team, and you know what you're going to get from him. And he doesn't whinge, he doesn't moan. He's one of them. You know, he always turns up to training. It's all the classic sort of stuff, isn't it? You know, but ultimately, he's doing it because he loves the game and he loves the club. So
yeah, huge fan of Bobby. I got Bobby. Yeah. Staff. we should move on from Liverpool though, and it was definitely interesting to hear. To kind of go over our thoughts with that. I think we'll go over to the immediate rivals because Manchester United, not any big incomings this summer so far. In fact, have they made any big
I don't think they've made any signings yet.
Even a youngster or something, I don't know. I've not kept too close, obviously. For context, I have been in hospital having a wee bit of surgery. I'm fine, but I was out of it for a little bit while and I am just coming back this sort of week. I get caught up in the news. But it looks like, coming out today, Cristiano Ronaldo is going to stay, and this does surprise me. I feel like that Ten Hag could have laid down a marker by getting rid of him.
Yeah.
Laid down a marker by getting rid of him, because that's... When Pep and Klopp came in, they laid down big markers by getting rid of players that people didn't really expect to be good at. Like, Joe Hart, I think, when Pep came in, was one of the top keepers in England. He was regularly selected for international, and Pep came in and immediately, no, you're not for me. Tried a few different things. Klopp, Benteke just been signed for 30 odd million. You're not for me.
Yeah.
And I think Ten Hag could have came in and just been like, right, I don't understand what you've done in the game, but this is a long term project. I don't see a long term project with a 37-year-old striker.
Exactly.
Because if you could be a rotational player and do a sort of Cavani type role where you just useful. Sort of coming in for a European game or coming in when cover's needed, but Ronaldo needs to start every game, otherwise it's just the atmosphere.
It's not worth it. Yeah.
I honestly don't think he's worth the drama that comes with him. I know he had a great return and he was really, really important to the success at Manchester United, but from what I say success, I mean the fact that any sort of wins he was key to. I should probably be clear on what I mean by
caveat,
success.
Caveat yeah. that.
Because he always did play a key role for them last year, but I just don't think it's a way forward for them.
No, I'd have to agree with you. The neutral fan in me expected him to leave, quite simply because, like you said, Ten Hag's come in wanting to build a long-term project at United, and you can't do that with a 37-year-old striker who's on God knows how much money Ronaldo's
stupid
on.
Stupid money, probably.
I thought he would leave, but then at the same time, he'd leave, because who's he going to go to? Exactly. Who's going to pay his wages when he's, 37 years old and I'm wanting £400,000 a week? There's no one out there.
That's the thing. Like, what big club actually really needs him?
Exactly.
Like, really needs him,
There's no one you could probably sit there and say, he could go to them realistically. Even Madrid, they wouldn't take him back, I don't think. They play a different sort of... They're looking to try to do something different, and they have an aging squad anyway, so bringing back a 37-year-old wouldn't help that. Obviously, he'd never go to Barcelona. PSG wouldn't go there. I mean, they've got a ridiculous amount of talent anyway. So where does that leave him? There was rumours, wasn't there, initially before he went to United, that City would get him. But I think that was a bit.
That's out the window now.
That was him. That was leverage for him, to go back to United. That's all that was for me. I sort of knew he would stay because, like I said, no one's going to pay his wages outside of Manchester, effectively. And I don't think he would go to Man City out of respect for the club.
Yeah,
it's a strange one. I think as a Man United fan, if I was a Man United fan, I probably wouldn't be worried, but I'd be questioning why no one has been even really linked. I mean, they've been linked with Christian Eriksen. I think that'd be a good signing. But is he what they need? Probably not.
plays the same position as. I mean, I think he did play a wee more of a central midfielder role for Brentford. They did really, but he had a lot of defensive players, big physical players around them. I don't think Manchester United have the player to facilitate both an Eriksen and a Bruno Fernandes playing in front of him.
No, I'd agree with you. I think, you know, we've spoken enough about Man United last season about what they needed, but we're still
obvious. It's clearly they need spinal players. They need players through the middle of the pitch. They need centre-backs. They need
centre-back, a good defensive midfielder. Yeah.
I mean, you see a Bissouma go to Spurs and you think, well, that's kind of a player that
signing.
Would have been an ideal signing for a Man United, you know? It didn't even go for massive money, 30-odd million, Bissouma
went for. Yeah, it was not a lot of money. I did, you know, again, like you said, Bissouma, he's a player you immediately think of, ultimately he's a Man United player. You know, he's big, he's strong, he's fast. He's everything that you need in that midfield, because that's what they've been lacking in that midfield. They've been lacking pace. They've been lacking someone who can put a tackle in, you know, who can shoot, who can pass the ball. And they haven't done that. And, you know, no centre-back again that they're linked with. Really going to go into another season with Lindelof and Maguire as your two centre-backs.
Varane, obviously.
Varane's injured, injury-prone, do you know what I mean? And he didn't exactly set the world on fire last season.
No, he had the worst season of his career.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, even a striker, they need a new squad, I think, personally. There's very few players in that squad that I would keep if I was the Man United manager. Obviously, I'm not.
And what system is he going to play? Is he going to go to a back? Oh, I think, you know, like the talent at Manchester. If you're not going to have a stable midfield, you need to play with a back three, don't you? If you're not going to have that extra man in midfield that's able to make the challenge and move the ball, you're going to need to play with a back three, you know? And obviously, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer did that for a little bit out of total necessity. And then obviously the 32's counter-attacking system, which didn't work terribly. It wasn't obviously the system or tactics or formation that you'd expect from a top-tier club. And I think they got, obviously, Ralph in just to... They wanted that pressing sort of top-level style football. They just... The players were absolutely...
The players were not
going to...
Yeah,
they
weren't going
to adapt to a system like that. So I don't know. I really don't know what it's going to look like. If they get Eriksen, I think that is a good signing just because...
It's a good player.
I mean, if I was Brentford, I'd be breaking in bank to get him.
Well, I believe that he's basically... He's been told... Well, the options for him is Brentford or United, but...
There was a conversation for Spurs.
Yeah, I can honestly see him staying at Brentford, personally.
He's loved at Brentford, you know, and it's London.
Yeah.
And he can live in London, which he likes to do. So there's a case. I don't think it's set in stone that he's going to Manchester United, and Bruno Fernandes would probably see that as a big threat. I mean, if they cast their minds back, they'll probably remember Eriksen playing on the left of a front three for Spurs on occasion. But I don't know if that's...
I don't think he's that player anymore.
Game. I don't know. He's moved on from that sort of type of player. But he offers so much. He offers so much. The dead ball situation, how important he was for Brentford near the end of the season, really prevented them from getting into that relegation strap when they went through a difficult period.
Yeah, I'd agree with you.
Right. Vincent Kompany took charge of Burnley as well. That's obviously a wee bit old news. That was one. I don't know if it's a risk by Burnley. I wonder.
It's a massive risk, I think, in the Championship. To get someone in with no experience, not didn't even play in the Championship. I think it's a big risk, but we'll see if it pays off. Well,
Speaking of Burnley, Nick Pope to Newcastle. Fantastic signing. Superb signing. Just exactly what they needed. They needed that sort of step up, I think, who they got now, Dubravka, Darlow, I think his name is as well, obviously. I've not seen a lot of for a while. This is a clear upgrade. This is the signings Newcastle keep making.
Smart signings.
Just clear upgrades. Upgrades, obvious upgrades. Have they signed Matt Target on a? I think they did.
He's a permanent, yeah.
Yeah, 21 million. That's a clear upgrade for them. It suits the style of play. And they're linked to the young forward from Lille as well. I think if they get them, obviously they need that because Callum Wilson isn't your sort of 38-game striker.
Yeah, he's not going to. So he's not going to get. You're lucky to get eight out of him at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. It's a shame. He's such a good. He's such a good fantastic. Forward as well. Yeah. So he's just played there. A bit like Danny Ings as well. I think him and Cal Wilson, they fall into that bracket. Very talented English strikers that just happen to be a bit injury prone.
Yeah,
a shame really. But yeah, a great signing for Newcastle. But we should talk about Chelsea. And I'm just hearing right now, 18 minutes ago, could Neymar be heading to Chelsea for the papers? Bit of a stretch, I mean.
No, I don't think so.
I mean,
you can never rule anything out.
And Chelsea have made big, big signings in the past, obviously.
Do you know what? The only thing I can see with this, if that is true, I mean, I don't know how true these rumours are, but, you know, new owners coming in and making a statement. We see it all the time. Abramovich, when he came in, you know, signed everybody.
Yeah, everybody.
You know, City, when they got taken over, immediately went and signed, you know, Robinho. Big statement signing. Didn't work out, but, you know, broke the bank, showed everyone that they were serious. And if Chelsea want to be serious, I mean, is there, you know, he's in the top five, arguably most famous footballers at the moment. So, you know, that'd be an interesting one. But for me personally, I can more see Sterling going to Chelsea. If the rumours are true, you know, Sterling's not first choice for Man City anymore. Strangely for me, because I think while he isn't the best finisher, he's always been there for City, and he's always been the one that sort of gets, you know, 15 plus goals a season, even if he is in and out of the side.
Yeah.
You know, London. That's where he's from. He imagine he would like to go back at some stage. And if they're offering the same sort of wage structure that he would be getting at City, which I imagine Chelsea would offer.
You'd expect him to.
Then, you know, I think the Sterling transfer is something that really could be interesting. It'd be a strange one from City to strengthen one of their rivals, you know, and to weaken themselves, you'd think. Especially with the news that, you know, Gabriel Jesus could be leaving as well. You know, to lose two attacking options.
I think that's very likely. Yeah. It looks like Spurs and Arsenal are going to battle out. I think Arsenal is
the leading contenders.
The leading contenders, but obviously Spurs have Champions League football.
Yeah.
So it does make Spurs very appealing. And obviously Conte, they have a top manager as well. So
yeah.
Champions League football and a very impressive manager is a big draw. So we'll see we'll see where he ends up. But I do expect Jesus to depart in the summer. Let's talk a bit about, you know, should a Chelsea, what do they need? So obviously, Lukaku saga, I think, is just insane. You know, it's insane. We both predicted success for Lukaku at Chelsea in the pre-season before last season, obviously. But also
very wrong. Very wrong. Yeah.
Not only wrong, he's like completely wrapped, taking a pay cut to go back to Inter.
Yeah.
What kind of message does this send to people, by the way? Like, you know, if the going gets tough, you get going, you
just
know?
Quit. Yeah, it really is, isn't it? It's, you know, if it doesn't succeed, just quit.
Yeah.
go somewhere else.
Go somewhere where it's easier.
Pretty much what he's effectively said, isn't it? You know, it's almost like too much like hard work here. I'll go back to Italy and score 30 goals a season and sort of be comfortable there. That'll do me. You know, Inter are a massive side, but, you know, arguably they're not. You could say nowadays they're not as big as Chelsea.
Everybody knows, like, obviously, AC Milan are winning a league with a 40-year-old Zlatan up front. You know, I don't know if he's starting every game, but that league is not the top tier in Europe right now.
Yeah, it's not the Serie A of the 90s anyway.
No. So if he wants to go there, like, fair enough. But, you know, I think, especially when a club is showing as much faith as to splash out just shy of £100 million, that it makes no
difference.
To
bring him back as well, it's not like it's the second time we've signed him. And, you know, there were some big expectations on him, I think, to prove people wrong from the last time, you know, to show them that he had matured as a player and, you know, he had grown, and the United saga was, you know, it was just the wrong club for him. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, he's proven that maybe it is just his attitude.
No, I think definitively it is him.
And it is that simple.
It's a player problem and not a club problem, you know. If he can't, he was desperate. And the fact that he made so much noise so soon after signing for Celtic, first little speed bump, mate, the first little speed bump where he was like, this, I would really love to go back to it and stuff like that. It just, Chelsea must just be absolutely kicking themselves that they ever thought that this man was the answer to whatever problems. But yeah, I think so. He's going back. It's a loan. I don't think there's any obligation to buy or anything like that. So he's took the pay cut to make this happen.
Yeah,
I think Chelsea make about £7 or £10 million, obviously minus the wages that they'd pay him. So you up that to maybe like they're going to make 20 odd million they'll make off this.
Yeah,
which just recovers a fraction of the 100 that they spent on him.
It's crazy, isn't it? But you know, Chelsea historically, since Abramovich has come in, arguably apart from Drogba, have had a problem with strikers. You know, they can't seem and maybe Diogo Costa, they can't seem to find a striker that works for them. And I think that's why they're maybe looking at a Sterling to change the system, like you mentioned beforehand, before we started the podcast. You know, maybe that they're going to look at that Havertz through the middle again and almost emulate City and Liverpool in that, you know, fluctuating front three where all three of them can play anywhere, you know, and they really cause problems for defenders. And I think that's probably what they're best doing. I think that's what Tuchel will want to do. You know, traditional number nines, I wouldn't say they've died out because there are still some fantastic number nines out there, but they've got to have other things in their game now. They're not just a number nine anymore. It doesn't quite work, especially at the top teams. It doesn't quite work that way anymore.
Yeah, there's the exceptions to the rule, and those are like your Lewandowski's and your Cristiano Ronaldo's, who are just goal-scoring machines, but they have to be to justify being in that position, you know? And, you know, you look at City and you look at Liverpool and you see this, that by no means like out-and-out centre-forward. You see them coming back into midfield to recover the ball. You see them out in the wing. You see them making crosses and stuff like that. And, you know, and it's not a case of like find a long pass to the big man so he can hold it up and wait for support and stuff like that. There's just none of that. The support's already there. The build-up's there. It's a slow build-up and stuff like that. And I think that's the way Tuchel will want to play. And I think Havertz, I think why he became his man nearer the end of the season.
And
I think that's maybe where they're going to go from. I mean, we even talked about a potential Lewandowski to Chelsea and what that would look like. It could happen because Barcelona, I think, have offered about 35. Bayern are still saying that's not enough. I think it's enough for a striker of Lewandowski's age. He's only got a year left.
He's got a year left.
You know, I think that's enough. But I could see him go to Barca. But like, if I was Chelsea, and they wanted an out-and-out goal scorer,
what better man than someone who's, you know, scored 50, 48 in like 49 goals in the last 3 years or something ridiculous like that. So
every season for for what it seems like years. I think the Lukaku situation just causes so much problems for Chelsea because like they will recover a little bit of money from loaning them out, but then you're missing a player from the squad and you need to solve that problem. You need to go out and get a Sterling. You need to go out and get, from what I've seen in the papers, a Neymar to replace that player. So they're not really recovering any money. I think they're just taking a total almost £100 million loss.
Yeah, I imagine it will be. I don't think they'll make any of that, much of that money back, definitely not.
Yeah, so it'll be an interesting one. There'll be more transfer news, and I think we're going to come back soon as well. But it's good to be back here. It is, mate.
Always good to talk.
Yeah. Thanks very much for the listeners. I hope you've had a good off season. we will be back. Obviously, but as soon as the season starts, we're back to every day. And we're going to be every other day in the lead up. But until then, cheerio, bye. Sports Social Podcast Network.